Our scripture reading this evening will be coming from Psalms 90, verses 1 through 10. Psalms 90, verses 1 through 10, I'll be reading from the New King James. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away.
You ever wonder what somebody's thinking? You know, Charlie throws up to me sometimes. I say, I don't know what I was thinking. He'll say, you wasn't thinking. You know, sometimes that's the case. The other night, Jay Cruz and Ella was at our house, and me and Dad and Wendy were sitting in the living room, and they were both just working just as hard as they could, both of them. But Jay Cruz was going from me to Dad to Wendy to the dog and back to me, and he was working so hard at whatever it was he was doing. And I remember looking at Dad or Wendy one, I said, boy, he is really working hard at this. And I said, I wonder what he's thinking. That's just as real to him as anything can be, whatever he was working on at that moment. It was all make-believe, whatever he was doing. I wonder sometimes what people think. You know, if you go back and you think, and I talked to Charlie about and Annie this afternoon about this, if you go back, can you imagine Adam for a minute? If you go back and God created Adam, you know, we have an advantage somewhat, I think, because we're born and we don't know anything, and then that gets to a point in our life where we begin to think, we begin to remember, we begin to know, and we remember things in our life as we go through, and we look back now, and we think back of how we progressed all the years, and this is where we're standing today, and this is where we're at. But Adam was just created, and when he woke up, and I don't know how to word this, I didn't prepare it, but when he woke up, when he had life, I'm sure God gave him knowledge of some sort. But can you imagine when he first woke up and looked around, God had created him, he gave Adam responsibility. He gave him power that he had to name the animals, and he had certain work, certain tasks he had to do. And then God realized he needed a helpmate, so he created Eve. And then there was Eve, and then they had children. Then one of his sons killed the other. I wonder what went through his mind. And you can go from there. Think about Noah for just a minute. After we got home from church this morning, I sat there in my chair and I read some scripture in the Old Testament. I run across Noah. I thought, well, I'll add Noah to this lesson tonight. Noah was, he'd been through a lot, just like us. He was born and he saw how the world was, and he adapted to whatever was around him in whatever way that was. And when he was 600 years old, the earth was flooded. Wonder what he was thinking when he worked so hard to build this ark. Everybody that walked by, he said, hey, it's going to rain. It's going to flood. It's time to repent. It's time to get right. And you need to be on this ark. And people made fun of him. But he kept right on working. Wonder what he was thinking. Wonder what he was thinking when it started to rain and he and his family was on the ark. And he looks out and he says, everything is flooded. It's still raining. I would think David would be a little panicked there. And I know what you would say, because we talked about this today. Well, he trusted in God. Well, so do we. And we have panic in our life sometimes too, because we go to thinking, what am I going to do? So at some point, I suggest to you that possibly Noah on that ark, he panicked at some point and said, you know, this is a mess. I'm scared. Because he was a man, and he was human, and we think those things. But have you ever wondered what Noah was thinking when all this was going on? Well, then you can come on down and you can come to Abraham. Abraham, he was chosen, and he was faithful, and he gave up his life, his lifestyle, and he went where God sent him, and he's one of the heroes of the Bible. He's one of the ones that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 among the faithful. Wonder what went through his mind with all that he went through. And today we look back and we say, he's one of the heroes of the Bible. Well, you could go then to Moses. You think about Moses, wonder what he was thinking. Moses was born, he was given away. He had a life that most of us could only dream of, really. He had everything he wanted, everything he needed. He was among the elite. And when he learned who he really was, he gave all that up to serve God. And then he was chosen to be a leader for God. One of the greatest heroes of the Bible. Walked through on dry land. All the things he went through. Wonder what went through his mind. You ever think at some point in his life he wondered, what in the world is going on in my life? Am I making the right decisions? Am I going down the right road? Whoever your Bible character is that come to your mind tonight, think about that one. What went through their mind? W.A. Bradfield, in one of his books that I have, he's got a sermon outline, and he's entitled it, Some Calls Must Be Answered. And I'm not going to preach that whole sermon tonight, but I do want to mention just a few of the calls that he mentions in that book that every one of us has to answer. And the first one has to do with what we've been talking about. That's the call of life. And he goes into his book and he explains that when we're born, we don't have any idea. We have no decisions. We're just born. And whatever family and whatever condition we're born in, we don't have any choice on that. And then hopefully that our parents or whomever takes care of us, they love us, they nurture us, and they direct us in the path that we need to go. But as an infant, he points out that we don't have a lot of choice in any of that, but it gets to be a point in our life where we begin to learn and we know. And his point in that was that you don't ever know what life's going to throw at you. However, he said, the older you get, the choices that we make, Jacob, the choices that you and I decide that we're going to do, it helps to dictate where we're going to go and what's going to happen in our life by the decisions that we make. But when you start off in life, was his point, you don't really know what life's going to hold. The book of James, chapter 4 and verse 14 says this, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. The point that Brother Bradfield was making in this is we've got to answer this call to life. Then we have a decision we have to make. What are we going to do with this call that's been answered? We have a decision in our life. Who are we going to be? Where are we going to go? Are we going to make a difference in people's lives? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be dedicated? Are we going to be churchgoers? And what part are we going to play in life? Well, there's a second call follows that real close, because the second call he says that we have to answer is the call of death. And that's one that we don't like to think about. It's not one that we like to focus on. But in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." Now think for just a minute about death. Choices we make can speed that up. I was talking to someone just this last week, and they said, "I don't worry about it." He said, "When it's your time, it's your time. You can't do anything about it." And I looked him right in the eye and I said, "I'm not for sure what you mean by that." And he began to explain it to me. He says, "Nothing you can do about it." I said, "Well, you can certainly speed it up. You know, you may not stop the process of the natural decline of the body, but you can do things while on this earth that you speed the process up." He said, "I disagree." I said, "Well, I don't see how you can." I said, "You could climb up on the tallest building in the world and walk around the edge and run and jump and do whatever you want to do. If you finally fall, that is going to be the end of your life. But if you never went up there, you wouldn't have failed." And he said, "Well, I see what you mean." So when we think about death, the way that we live our life, we have to make certain decisions as we go through it. But W.A. was bringing it out, Brother Bradfield was bringing out the idea that there is a call that each one of us is going to answer. And in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it introduced the third call that he said we had to answer, and that's the judgment call, or the resurrection call. I'm sorry, the resurrection call. Scripture says this in John 5, verses 28 and verse 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and a shout come forth, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." When we think about the call of resurrection, we know that that's victory for us as Christians. Because when we think about Jesus and his resurrection, when they crucified him, he had told his apostles, he had told the disciples, that in 3 days I am going to be raised. And in 3 days he overcame death. So that takes a fear out of Christians today, knowing that we can and will be resurrected as well. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." So when we think about the call of resurrection, it's not the call, as Brother Bradfield pointed out, it's not the call of dread for a Christian. It's the call of happiness for each one of us. And that leads us to the fourth and final one that he brought out in his, was this. The one I didn't mention was the call of judgment. That each one of us is going to stand before God and we're going to be judged. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." These are the four calls that I wanted to bring out tonight for us. Calls that we have to answer. We look sometimes and we wonder, or at least I do, we wonder what people may be thinking. I wonder how people get through certain situations. When I was working for Trenton, over at Trenton Light and Water, I'll never forget one night we had a water main break. It was a 10 or 12 inch water main. And I mean, the dirt had done been washed away. We didn't need a backhoe to dig it out. It was there. And when I got there, people was running because the banks were caving off and the mud was flying straight up in the air and it was just moving dirt left and right. I got out of the truck, me and a guy that was with me, we walked straight to the ditch. And I put my head down and I looked down at the ditch and I remember somebody yelling at me, "You're crazy, what are you doing?" And I just sat there and looked at that water main for a minute and I had to look at it. I had to know what size it was. I had to know what it was going to take to fix this thing. I had to know what was going on in that ditch. And I walked back away from him. The guy said, "You're crazy. You're soaking wet." I said, somebody's got to fix that. And I remember him looking at me and thinking I was crazy for what I was doing. And maybe he was thinking that night, what was he thinking when he walked up to that? My point being, sometimes we may know where we're going and why we're going there. And people may look at us and wonder what we're doing. The fifth call that I want to close with tonight is that. And it's the gospel call. Folks, we ought to know where we're going. And we ought to know what we need. People may think or wonder what we're thinking or think that we're crazy. We may have to tell them about the gospel. And we're going to have an opportunity next week. We have an opportunity every day. But we're going to have a special opportunity next week as we open our gospel meeting next week that we can share this gospel call to other people. And then we can inform and tell people why we do what we do and what we get from being a Christian. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are calls we have to answer, Brother Bradfield pointed out in his book. We can look in the Old Testament, we can look in the New Testament, and we can see what I would like to call heroes of the Bible. People that stood the test, people that we may wonder what they were thinking, or we may wonder why they did what they did. But at the end, everybody that I mentioned, you can go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you can find each one of those. And those men were counted among the faithful. Jesus is calling us tonight. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Jesus is begging us to come to him. He is begging us to live our life for him, to walk hand in hand with him, to allow the love that he has for us to be shown in our life and for us to show it to all those that we have opportunity to. What will you do tonight with the call that's coming? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come right now while we stand and sing.